prepare. Heavenly Father, we are in wonderment concerning the song we just sang a while ago, How Lovely Are Thy Dwelling Places, knowing, Lord, that the dwelling place that you picked was not in buildings that man made, but in the hearts of men. And as Stephen said, you always resist the Holy Ghost. So, Lord, we know that your dwelling place is by the Spirit, and we have not taken to ourselves or arrogated to ourselves the privilege of calling ourselves lovely, which indeed ourselves we are not. But you have given us the loveliness of Jesus Christ, our Savior, imputed to us and given us your own righteousness, which is the Holy Spirit. And so we appreciate, Lord, what you have said about us, and may we never forget it. And may we never make you a liar, Lord, about this, because man wants to have a mock humility instead of a true humility, and we find we're no different from anybody else. We need help, Lord, to have our minds completely renewed so that we can get away in that rapture that we're all talking about and we're so sure we're a part of. Having been led thus far, we don't believe we're going to stop short of crossing the river. And the great God himself, the Holy Spirit, is going to take us up there to the wedding supper. Now, Lord, may we this morning learn even a little more concerning how you are doing this, how that the prophet preached on the events or the circumstances of the rapture. And what we're looking at right now are circumstances, events that make clear the Word of God and are made clear by the Word of God. It all works together. So we humbly ask you today to help us, and we believe you will hear us, and we believe that you will help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, in the message last night, we finished off by reading from the voice of the sign and making some comments, of course, on it. And from the first few paragraphs, because that's how far we got, which was really a recap from the sermon before, we saw that the prophetic office, which manifested the sign, prophetic office, because I don't want to simply tabulate a person as a prophet. There's an office involved there because he's just a regular fellow like we are, predestinated, not any different from us. It's all the same. And so we saw that prophetic office, which manifested the sign of that office, which was a voice to the people who saw the manifestation. Now, that's not ambiguous. It's just plain, simple truth that the prophetic office demands a sign. And when that sign is seen, that literally becomes a voice to the people. Now, the Bible language is a little different from what you and I expect as very highly educated and very highly trained people who know just the right word to use in the right place, which is a lot of hogwash. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 15. Now, this is after Samuel heard the voice of God speaking to him, and he said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Now, he didn't see a thing. He heard. Yet it's called a vision. So, therefore, you see with your ears. Yeah, now, what is it really telling about? It's telling the fact that it doesn't matter what you see and you hear. Those are receptacles. They touch the nerve, like the auditory nerve and the optic nerve, and it is the brain that gets the message. Now, everything you look at gives the brain a message. Everything then has a voice. So, therefore, when you see the prophetic office in manifestation, and there's got to be something that designates it as the prophetic office, well, then that man in there is a prophet, or he couldn't have the office. Like Brother Branham said, the man and the message is one. The man and the ministry is one. See, right down the line. So, then it says here in verse 21, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. In other words, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now, in the little town of Peace, that little town Shiloh, God gave a revelation of himself, and the scripture tells us that revelation was by the word. Now, you know, many people like to get a little curious about God, and I'm not at all offended, and God's not offended, but you better be careful who you are. Moses said, he's already said, after everything Moses had gone through, he said, "I've got to have something else." He said, "Lord," he said, "if your mercy is with me and your grace," and he carried on and on. He said, let me see you. And God said, "No way can you see my face and live." See? And so Moses pushed a little farther, and God said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do." He said, "I'll put you in the cleft of the rock." So he put Moses in the cleft of the rock, and that's kind of like, you know, where you get down in these caves so that you can't be touched by the radium and you can't be touched by the atomic energy, you know, the atomic impulses. So he put Moses in there sort of as a sanctuary and a preventive measure. And maybe, I don't know how this all went, but Moses was able to see just a little part of the back of Almighty God. God indulged him. But you know, the thing is this, people say, well, I want to see the pillar of fire. Now listen, you just mind your business. You keep your nose up. Because nobody's going to tell God he's going to do anything. See? Now he revealed himself to Samuel. He came into full view as concerning his Godhead through speaking to him. See? Now a prophet then can bring God into full view by just telling about him. Now if you don't believe it, you're not going to see God. People say, well, I want to see God. Well, you look, I'm reading here, you're seeing God. The prophet telling about this, that's seeing God. God being brought into full view. Now that's the thing that you and I come under. Now you see that we're getting into real church order now. Oh yeah. Because everybody in Pentecost, and the Pentecost has taken the world over. Look, let's never mind about the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian. Forget if they've been dead for centuries. Literally. Almost. Give them 50 years anyway, it's half a century. Give them more than that. They've been dead. When Pentecost moved in, they died. They died because they blasphemed the Holy Ghost just like the Nazarenes did. Why did the missionary alliance go down the drain? Because when the fire fell in Nyack, they literally saw something. And they're speaking in tongues. They said, that's the devil. And they died. Brother Branham saw a Nazarene pastor kissing, making love to a corpse. What do you think of them apples? If you think sodomy's bad enough and homosexuality, what do you think of that? Yeah. That's what God thinks of denomination. See? So, all right. You can't tell Baptists anything anyway, so it's all right. Now, the Pentecost, you can't tell them anything anyway, because they got all enamored with gifts and seeing things, this and that. What about a vision a lady tells about? I forget, maybe I actually met the lady, maybe I read it, I don't know, my memory's not that facile anymore, it's, you know, pretty dull. And so anyway, she tells how she was praying up a storm, and all these people were praying up a storm with her, calling on the Lord, and suddenly she saw a vision. And in that vision, she saw Jesus walking by with a basket full of gifts, and he tried to give this person a gift, and too busy praying, calling on the Lord, and he tried to give that person a gift, too busy calling on the Lord, and all this sort of stuff. Now that sounds great for Pentecost, and that's great for Pentecost. But brother, sister, I'm not interested in gifts, I'm interested in the giver. And I'm going to show you that if we get time, and if I can shut my mouth long enough to read something, we may get you to the place where I can show you what I'm talking about pertaining to the gift. Might as well tell you, greater than Solomon's here. They rallied around the gift back in those days, and the gift was impersonated in a man, as Brother Branham would say. You can tell what's going on. All right, that manifestation then in the prophetic office is to attract the people's attention in order to stand still, in order to hear the voice. As Brother Branham categorically said, always said, to find a bride of such character who would stand still long enough to hear the message. And then stand still long enough in the waters of separation in order for her to be dressed. And the prophet was categorically saying he was doing the work of the Holy Ghost who is to do the dressing. Because it's an inner garment being put on. Now people want that inner garment, they want this which is going to put in a rapture. You don't get it outside of the prophet. And if you didn't stand still long enough to listen to the prophet, knowing the manifestation was of God in the prophetic office, then you've missed it. Now, I know people want to say, you're unkind. Look, am I unkind because I'm going to fall heir to $60 billion trillion in heavens and skies that God wants to give me? And I say, I'll take it, and they don't want it? Oh, come on. Am I supposed to say, well, I'll just flush mine down the sewer and be a nice guy with you? Let me tell you what. That's why this earth's going to burn. I told you last night about the man that had this great big industry, this great big farming project. He put foremen and superintendents and people in charge of it. They said, well, let's get rid of the sun. We'll take the whole thing over. And Jesus said, what do you think the master will do? He said, and the people, right out of their own mouths, condemn themselves, just the same as David did when he said, that man ought to die. He said, I'm going to tell you something. They said, we believe they deserve death. He said, exactly right. Seven church ages, seven messages. The reign of God pouring off upon the earth the last time once for all. The most dynamic of all, once out of three times in 6,000 years. A manifestation on the scene, caught it with the camera, everything in due line. Look right there, the judge himself. And he said, well, I said, don't go there. That's, no. No more, no nothing about God. And Brother Brandon said that a Hottentot knows about an Egyptianite, whatever that is. I know nothing about it myself. So what about the guy that's lower down the ladder? All right, listen. The voice was the voice of God because the acts were the acts of God. Now, that's what Deuteronomy tells us. That prophet must come in the name of the Lord, and he must predict that thing which must come to pass, and it will come to pass. And when they see it come to pass, that is a voice right there. That stops them right like that. They say, just a minute, like Nicodemus did. No man can do the works that you're doing except God be with him. He might as well have gone further, except God be in him, because his name was Emmanuel. And we'll talk about that in a little while. All right. Also, Jesus said, if you can't believe me, believe the works. He said, I don't do them. The Father does them. Now, I want you to notice something. This man, Jesus, has said that. And notice this very, very carefully. Who was he? You say, he's the Messiah. He's more than that. He's Messiah prophet. Now, in Messiah prophet is where people are losing their understanding of this hour and the understanding of the whole Bible. They refuse to equate Jesus to just a prophet. Well, who is Jesus? He's a prophet. Oh, I think that's a horrible expression. Now, it's nice, but it's not nice enough. I want you to know that when I think of Jesus, I think of God, one of a Trinity. Do you? Your thoughts are more muddled up than mine. I'm beginning to think of a prophet. Come on, slow down with me this morning. Get your hearts under control and get your minds under control. Jesus is in a pillar of fire today, brother, sister, risen from the dead, and he's here right amongst us. Not in us only, he's amongst us. It's just the Spirit that's in us. But the Spirit himself is amongst us. The Spirit in our midst will one day catch us up and take us to the wedding supper. Then he'll incarnate himself in that body that Brother Branham called the body. He'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we'll see to it, because we're going to crown him. You don't have that Spirit right now, but you will have. Don't worry. You say, why haven't I got it? Because the hour hasn't come. Prophets come at a certain hour. Or they don't come. If a certain hour doesn't come, the prophet doesn't come. God, prophet, hour, prophet, God. Threes. I see him as a prophet. If you don't see him as a prophet, you better lower your sights. You're too big for God. Sorry about that. He's a clean man. He thought it not a thing, a prize to be grasped and retained, to remain in his godhood state, inviolate from all things. But he came down, and he took upon himself the lowest form there is, because man has a conscience and a soul, and he knows what he ought to do, and he won't do it. An animal works by instinct. The animal's absolved. Man's not. Man has to be judged. Animals can't be judged. They can be destroyed. Man will be destroyed, but he'll be judged first. All right? You notice. Then very important to notice, this is Messiah, the prophet. He is Emmanuel, which is God in flesh, but in the prophetic office. In the prophetic office. In the prophetic office. And he's Hebrews 13 and 8, so you can't take the office away. Everybody did. Everybody wants to follow John. Behold the Lamb, behold the Lamb, behold it. Yes, behold the Lamb, but what Lamb? Prophet Lamb. And I'm going to tell you something. He was not the Lamb until they took him in and scourged him. He said, I'm ready now. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he became the Lamb. Before that, he was strictly prophet. Now he's prophet Lamb. See? You know that old Ethiopian eunuch, he had something on the ball. People don't think he had, but he said, who's this man talking about? Himself, the prophet himself, or some other one? You see, in his mind, he was connecting the prophet. Is this about a prophet? What prophet? Well, you say, this is about the Savior. Hold it, hold it, hold it. He's prophet before he's Savior. Amen. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is his own prophet, as our own prophet told us. So let's get down where we belong. Prophet. That doesn't take away the fact he's Savior, he's the Lamb, he's Redeemer, he's everything. That doesn't take away what you are doing and I am doing unconsciously. We're the ones that are taking away. Now where does it put us? Out of the Lamb's book of life. Now don't say Brother Bale me, because you know I'm not reading anybody's thoughts, but but I stand here in a very, very tiny manner like Brother Branham did. I know these tapes go almost plumb around the world. I expect better of you people here, although I don't think I've got a right to, because I can't expect too much of myself. I'm so slow and dull of hearing how I get as far as I've got, which is literally nowhere to what we could be. You see? All right. In the prophetic office, he is Emmanuel, but he is in the prophetic office. In the prophetic office, he's Emmanuel. Thus the miracles, now listen carefully, thus the miracles or works which made the sign were compatible with the prophetic office. And the prophetic office was for that hour. Now you see what I'm trying to tell you. He was Emmanuel, but he was watered down to a prophet. So therefore, he could not be Genesis chapter 1 in total. Though he was. For in the beginning was the Word is the God, and Brother Branham said the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Elohim. And Elohim was a self-existent one all by himself. So all right, we're seeing what God's doing. And he confined himself. Deliberately confined himself. So he came down in the stature of a prophet. And he would do those things which were compatible. Now people don't like compatibility. Oh, we're all taught to be original. Oh, God. You remember the days they had this stupid haircut and all this, or they still got them? Original. You're original. Original like the devil. Because he's the originator. He's the fashioner. There's the origin. You want to go back to origins? You go back to origin, you'll dress like women, you'll dress like men. Even Andy Rooney lashed out at these guys that do ballet. Should put the column out there, read it here. Incy Pincy's. Poor Brother Branham. If I have troubles, I realize I'm not half as master as he was, and rugged Lord, have pity. What he must have gone through. If you and I feel a little bit like regurgitation, no wonder that fella had such a weak stomach. I finally found out what it was all about. No wonder he's agitated. All right. He was in the prophetic office of that hour, and that hour did not call for all the things that people thought it called for. Now we've got the same thing here. For people to speak like we do concerning the presence of God is literally blaspheming their ears because it doesn't cut with what they believe. But when you understand it's prophetic, that's the office that has been revealed, that's what is manifested, then you gear yourself down and you say, well, hey, wasn't that the way it was? Then fine, now you've got it. Do you follow me? You see how simple it is? My heavens, 20 years to get this far in simplicity. Well, we came from the original as a unicellular seed being. And we got pretty complex in the meantime, through 6,000 years. Machinations and everything else, and imagination, put them all together. Now we're getting back to simplicity. Where one word will do it all. As Brother Branham said, one word from thee, O Lord, is better than the millions of words any man can speak. All right. Notice, thus he did not create, but multiplied dead substances according to his will and not man's ideas. After all the signs, they said, show us a sign. He said, hold it, I've been showing you signs. Lined up entirely with the scripture. In the sovereignty of God. And it's been explained. And they say, well, we wouldn't take that. You ever stop to think often people make God a liar? Now, let's be serious this morning and ask ourselves a question. And when we do ask the question, we're going to always ask the question, well, do I believe for healing? Do I believe for this? Do I believe that? I'm going to switch it and say, do you listen to your own minds instead of the word that the prophet preached? And you are determined to interpret the prophet according to your mind as though he were simply patting you on the back and said, yes, you're all right, when he has come on the scene and said, no, nobody is right, and I'm going to point you right. You say, horrors, I don't know if I can take that, because you see, I do have a lot of right. The Bible said, he that offends in one point is guilty of all, which is the same as saying, take away one word or add one word, you're finished. So you follow me? The prophetic office. Thus he did not create, but multiplied substances. However, Moses created at that time, and at this time we say that we see the same today. Now, you don't find an act of creation the way Moses did. And remember, Moses was not totally Emmanuel in flesh, Emmanuel. He was only partly in that hour, in that dramatic role. Jesus was the sum total. Where Brother Branham mentioned that all of heaven was there. I think we'll read that. Not today. Because you're going to get out here in roughly 1 hour. That is to say, I'm not taking long. But I will take my time. All right. And today we see a creative act in the very ministry of Jesus the Christ. For William Branham could not do, nor could he say, the things that were done and said. Amen. Say, no way. Now, the prophetic office is responsible. Now listen carefully. The prophetic office, whether you and I like it or not. And you better like it. Okay? We better be like the little kid. The mother said, now listen, son. When you go eating out today, you had better be polite. Because we'll be watching you. He said, yes, mommy, I will. So they had the dinner, and the hostess said, how'd you like it? He said, it sure was good, what there was of it. His mother looked at him there, and said, and there was lots of it. Now, there's too many, pardon the expression, snotty-nosed, little imps amongst us. And you may be listening to one, and I may be talking to several. But it was good, and there's lots of it. We don't have a thing to say about God's plans and a spiritual food in due season. And the prophet said he gave us everything under the seven seals to put us in the rapture. It must be good, and there's lots of it. Follow me? Okay. The prophetic office is responsible for the manifestation of God and the revelation of God and his word or purpose for the hour, and that event, you know, of the hour, has already been documented in the word. Because God cannot operate apart from this book. He said, listen, children, this is your document. And remember, Isaiah said, all thy children shall be taught of God. Not one missing. All thy children taught of God. Then, Lord, tell me, because here I am, your good little boy. And you know what you'll hear? You'll hear it, but you won't hear from God. Except how God can speak to individuals, which like he talks to me and talks to you, but not like that. No way. And you intrude in the office, you'll die with fire. You say, how do you know? Because that's what happened to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They went right down the pit of life. You say, Horace, it's going to happen again, my dear sweet brother, sister. After this, the fire falls. See? So we've got to be serious about these things. The prophetic office is responsible for the manifestation of God. Now, God is responsible to himself. He uses that person, and that person will now manifest God. He certainly will. And he will reveal God. And he'll reveal God, not only God, he'll reveal his purposes, which lie in this word documented for us, which are for that hour, not another hour. God was in Noah. Absolutely. And when he was in Moses, he didn't preach Noah's message. When he came into Jesus the Christ, he didn't preach Moses' message. When he came into Paul, he revealed what Christ was all about. Now, to William Branham, you've got to study the church ages, you've got the seals, you've got the whole thing. Perfection has come. And if people say perfection hasn't come, that's back in Pentecost. They're confusing the gift with the giver. When you deal with the prophet, you better not confuse the gift with the giver. You see a gift to man in the prophetic office, but you see the giver in the prophet, or you see nothing. He's the manifester. Thus the prophet, as Brother Branham said, becomes the living word of God manifested. Scorcher.
Amen.
So, Brother Bill, I don't believe I can take that, but that's blasphemy. I ran across that quote, and there was a certain church where a certain minister had come in, and he was wrong. I still say he's wrong. There's no way I'll back away from it. And Brother Joe was certainly around at that particular period of time. And so the quote was given by the other brother, the prophet's living word of God manifested, and this man threw his hands up, he didn't believe, and one boy stood by and said, blasphemy, that's blasphemy, blasphemy. Okay, how many am I talking to this morning? You got all the answers. You know all the quotes. None of us. I know so few quotes is pitiful. They're necessary, only if you can line them up and understand the doctrine. The prophet correctly said that the prophet is the living word of God manifested. Why? Because it is his. He is in here for that hour, and he is brought forth in human flesh. And when that, and John the Baptist could have said when they said, who are you? He could have said, I am Isaiah chapter 40. I am Malachi 3 in human flesh. I preached this over in Greece, 1970. That old patriarch, he must be dead by now, wonderful man of God. Sister Mary Matakis did the interpretation, and she's excellent. She's absolutely fabulous. At the end of the message, the old man came forward to the pastor. He said, "Fee, I've heard strange things today, but," he said, "do not let them pass by. They could be right." That man wasn't Pentecostal. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He's just ahead of his hour. Tell that to people, they'll think you're blaspheming because they want to make Jesus all flesh. Oh, he's the one. He's in the pillar of fire. I'm going to tell you again. "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more." Amen. After that flesh. "Why do you persecute me, Saul? Who are you?" "I'm Jesus." That ought to be enough. People say they believe Paul. How much do they believe Paul? That's a good question. It's very easily answered. The answer is very, very little. "Thus the prophet becomes a living word of God manifested, for he is a complete prisoner to God. Spoken of in the word, completely controlled by God when he is actually engaged as the representative of God in whatever role God has given to God himself at that time." And it'd be prophetic office every time. Do you want to read it again to you? "He's a living word of God manifested because, number one, he's in the book here, and he's completely controlled by God. I put my words in your mouth." And Brother Branham said, "The prophets were in a tube." And Balaam said, "I cannot speak anything other than what God said." Now, he could take what God said and mess with it, which he did, and messed up everybody, and he died fighting Israel. Just like Paul was so messed up, he was killing the bride. So the false anointed person, though the anointing is true, can predict and say the very things that come to pass and absolutely try to kill the bride of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they denied the prophet. Now see where we are? The prophet's a living word of God because here he is. He's already known for a certain hour. He comes forth and manifested in flesh. He's completely controlled by God, the same as Jesus said. What he says, I tell. Completely controlled by God, actively, when God is actively engaged, or that man is actively engaged as a representative, or the mask, call it the mask, of God in whatever role God has given himself, and that would be prophetic God now. Whatever God has given himself. Now, Brother Branham also did represent the judge because he said, "I indict this generation." But he could only do it as a prophet because, as Brother Branham categorically said, judgment always follows a prophet. And if the prophet was not a man who could open his mouth in judgment, then he was not that man. Now, people don't like that, but the same judge that opened his mouth and said, "I condemn you to the gallows," is the same judge that says, "You are free. There's nothing against you." Amen. So we better smarten up. We'll see how the negative works with the positive. Brother Branham brings it out too. Which, if we have time, we won't get it today. We'll get it another day. Okay. This accounts for such a variance amongst the prophets. What accounts? The roles in which God has engaged himself to manifest himself, to show himself, and to bring to pass his purpose. To declare his purpose, to reveal it, and have the people come into it. And as that goes on through the ages, that same God then is not obligated to do exactly the same thing, but he will do it through the same manner and offices which he said he would do it. He'll use different people at different times, under different circumstances. It'll all ring out as God, because the thing will come to pass. He will use the prophet. The continually unfolding drama, and God directs it alone, as he directs the drama. He doesn't ask any man for advice, and he allows no man to take any advice to him. Now, you can go and petition God, and within a certain area, you will get your prayers answered. But it's just like if I was a school kid and I said, "Well, Lord, I've written my test yesterday on geography, and I sure pray that you make Cincinnati the capital of Ohio." Forget it. God's no fool. He already made Columbus the capital, so put it on your notes. See what I'm trying to tell you? Man cannot come in this program. Man is a recipient of the omniscience and the omnipotence and the graces and the mercy and all those intrinsic factors of God himself. He's a recipient of it, but he cannot add to it. He cannot get it on his own. It is all under the plan of the sovereign electing Almighty God. All right. After this, then, the prophet appears. Signs and wonders, the vindication. Then we come to the voice which comes out of the sign. And it reveals what God is doing and what hour we're living in. As Brother Branham said in Daniel 70th week, which I'm going to read because, we read it so many times to you, dozens and dozens of times. But I got to read it because I can't remember it word by word. The Spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Not by a man. The Spirit comes to the church and does his own revealing through the man. Bringing the church in. and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great deep secret things. Remember in Daniel's the second chapter, he talks about visitation, which he talked about last night. So God has come down in an investigating judgment. And remember when he came down, Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? There he is. And people say, they don't understand. What's not to understand? I'll tell you why they don't understand. They won't let their thinking go. They got it all nicely figured out. Well, let's get it unnicely figured out. Let's get our figuring out of the way and turn to God. Okay. With this understanding in the mind concerning the voice of the sign, that the sign has a very audible voice. It's actually, you might say, kind of a simile. It's a pictograph. Call it whatever you want. It's an illustration. All right, here you see something. Now, this camera caught what the authority said was a supernatural being or something. Now, that should make people say, what is it? Now, there's going to be signs in the skies. There's one there. What is it? Now, science can't tell you. But science has negated science, falsely so-called. Because science comes from the Latin word scio, scire, scivi, scritum, which means to know. And science does not know. The assured voice of science is absolutely hogwash, claptrap, balderdash, and alive in the pit of hell. They were so dumb, when I was 16 years of age, they had the dipping needle predicting the curt in the wrong way. There's a lot of dipping needles since then because we've got a lot of dips. They've dipped into the wrong place. Science doesn't know. But science has superseded the spiritual to such an extent that man has negated the spiritual. Because he thinks by obliviating from his mind that which could be true and literally is true, that he's now safe. Ha! You might as well cover your head when the hurricane comes and think you're safe. It'll do one thing for you. It'll stop dust getting in your eye, but it'll let you take your head off. Smarts is smarts. It's not too smart. All right, we're reading. Now watch. God gave him a sign to prove his calling and claim. Now that's what we're talking about. That's a voice. Inquire, find out. When he went down to Egypt. Now God always gives the messenger a sign and the voice of that sign. In other words, there's a voice to the sign. Why does God give a sign? To attract attention. How do you attract attention? You say, hey! Knock on the door. Something physical. Why? Because you are physical. You and I are physical. Therefore, God must use the physical to get us to the spiritual. That's why he said, look out there in nature. If you can't tell by nature there's a God, there's something wrong with you. Science is so smart. Now they're talking how that NASA's got it figured out that we got evolution really pinned up now because after all, we have found something in the spaces up there. There's some clay up there and we find by certain action, interreaction, and God knows, slam, bang, balderdash stuff under their stupid test tubes. Sure, they figure they got the answer. Well, come on, produce me some light. Go ahead, get the clay moving. I'll tell you where the answer comes with clay. God formed clay and put the man in it. Oh, listen, we got the answers. Yes, sir, boy. Herod was just a fox. Or foxy. That's what Jesus said. Be wise, a servant harmless as a dove. But I want to tell you one thing. I just forget it. I already told you one thing. Now, God always gives a sign and a voice of that sign. There's got to be a voice to it. If there's not a voice, forget it. See? In other words, there's a sequence here that God lays down, and people get carried away by not watching the sequence. That's why the false anointing can fool people. We'll read that. You know it anyway. Like John said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now, Brother Branham said, a sign, a prophet is a sign. Of course, Jesus is a super sign. There's a super sign right there. There's sign, super sign. Living Word of God made manifest, right? A little part. Living Word of God itself. The great manifester. Now remember when Brother Branham said they went down to Egypt and he said that God appeared in signs and wonders and after he got them out, God himself appeared. Everybody said, let me see God. You can't do it. Because Israel said, hey, we don't want to see God. We don't want to hear God. You do it for us. And God said, amen. That's exactly what it is. Now people don't want to listen to God. They want to say, hey, I want to see, I want to see, I want to see. God says, I can't do it. But notice how nice he is. How he ingratiates himself. See? Not just curries favor or gains favor, Brother Branham said. He literally ingratiates himself. He said, listen, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
He said, you cannot make me break my word, but I can go around my word in my own way. I'll let you take a picture. So he had a scientific camera rating in the 20th century, which he didn't have before. So now we see God. A picture. So that's not really God. No, but it's all right. You don't see dog. No. You see physical attributes. You see chemistry around the spirit. That's a chemistry. Another chemistry. Amen. We're all chemistries. Okay. Waiting, we were waiting to be manifested. Now we're manifested. And when the great manifester comes on the scene, children know their pappy. Not a bunch of mules. Hey, he doesn't know his ancestry. He's just been conceived in the back alley. These came from heaven. Horses. Thoroughbreds, they know. They know who their maker and their God is. Now, the Bible doesn't need anybody to interpret it. Oh, how he tried to do it. God's his own interpreter. He interprets it by making what he said come to pass. Well, the point is this. Why would he say it if he didn't make it come to pass? That'd be some kind of a God, wouldn't it? That wouldn't be God at all. The Bible says they're no gods. They don't speak. They don't do this. They don't do that. They can't because they're nothing to them. That settles it. You're very good. If God said it and he did it, that's all. Oh, I think we ought to have something more. He said, that's all. He must increase. I got to decrease. I'm getting out of here when I do want back.
Amen.
Well, something else got to happen. Sure, he'll come back in the resurrection. By that time, it'll be too late. We'll be perfect by then, for they without us cannot be made perfect. Doesn't make you have any preeminence. Just makes you humble you right down. Know that you need God. God said it. That's all. That's all. They need no interpreter. The Bible said it's a no private interpretation. That's God's way of doing it. Ever true to his sent sign, he follows by his voice. In other words, as soon as there's a sign, you better listen. There's got to be a voice coming out of it. That voice, that sign shouted, hey, listen, stop. I want to tell you something. Now, God never does anything, the Bible said, until first he shows it to his servants, the prophets. Now, if that's wrong, now listen. Now, Brother Brad's really on the nose here. He said, if that's wrong, then the rest of it's wrong, too. One little part of a verse wrong makes the whole thousands of verses in that Bible wrong. Like the last time my blood was examined under a dark field microscopy. Is that right? Or whatever it is. Showed one little bug in there that shouldn't be there. Others, too, but that was the bad one. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, every drop has got one of those rascals in it. Now, that means if one drop of my blood is wrong, every other drop is wrong. Maybe by the time I go back, there'll be no more aliens in there. They don't belong there, so we got a right to get rid of them, either by the power of God or the sources that God gives. All right, if that one little verse is wrong, the rest is wrong. Now, you watch how people defend that one. You can't defend that. In other words, defend their stand against it. Well, you see, that doesn't mean that. Well, tell me what it does mean. It means what God brought to pass.
Right.
See, that's the thing people don't understand. He never does anything until he shows it. Talking about the prophet. Now, there's a revelation involved here. And that seer or prophet is to be identified. Now, we've been talking that all along. Now, watch what he says about this. That's what he prophesies. Then he quotes Numbers 12:6-6 wrong. The prophet is not throwing a curve. He's waiting to see if you're smart enough to catch it. The Numbers 12 is face to face. But Deuteronomy 18 is not necessarily so. That could be a vision or a dream. And the man backs it by the prophecy that vindicates him that he is correct. But this man not only has that, he has the other. All right. You follow? Comes to pass. Then believe it. But if it doesn't come to pass, then don't believe it. Now he is basing his whole premise of the proof of the pillar of fire because he did not have that in the beginning, that picture. He had supernatural evidence. So now he tells you, listen. He said, I'm going to tell you I am in the category of Moses and of Paul. How many believe that one? He said, I'll prove it. By Deuteronomy 18. Now watch. Every true God-sent sign is followed by a voice. Now in there, the God-sent sign is a double. First of all, it's the prophet, then what the prophet does. Not what he says yet, that comes later. The first two are the confirmation of the message which must come. And if it's the same tired old voice, you know that it's not going to come. Okay, let's read. Now the voice, the sign has the voice. Now every true God-sent sign has a voice. And that voice must speak according to the word that's given for that day just exactly. Now notice that Brother Branham is placing this phenomenon, which is in a human vessel, and it is literally earth-rending. The appearing of God in a prophet. In this case, in a prophet and beside a prophet. Now he's telling you something here, that it is for juncture periods. It is therefore for us to understand. He is speaking of the now hour. Your mind wants to go back and always think, well, God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does heal. He does this. He does that. He does this. No, my brother, my sister, we're winding down. He doesn't do anymore. In this hour, you say, what doesn't he do? He's fixing to finish off the baptism with the Holy Ghost. It runs out. Now, where does that leave your thinking? Come on. It runs out. He distinctly said justification gave way to sanctification. Sanctification gave way to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost gives way to the Holy Ghost himself. Brother Branham categorically said the baptism with the Holy Ghost is temporary. So therefore he is not doing as people think. He is doing what people don't think. And don't understand. And therefore he needs somebody to tell him. You follow? We'll see that as we read this. Now, you see a sign. And the sign that the man's doing, if you see a sign, is this what he's doing. And is the same old school of thought. Then you can say right then, that didn't come from God. Now listen, he's not saying, contradicting, thus saith the Lord, the visions and the dreams and the face-to-face and the real prophet. He's contradicting those who operate by gifts. Genuine gifts. But there was the old status quo. Now understand this or you'll not understand anointed ones at the end time. Your mind will go bloop, 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 and blip. Get your mind lined up. You do not lay one scripture down that Brother Branham says because he says another scripture. Or he's talking about this point and that seems to contradict that. There is no contradiction. Numbers 12, Deuteronomy 18 stands. And in it stands every single gift. And the offices.
Amen.
And the graces. Now comes somebody behind with gift ministries in order to contradict the voice of God in the message. And both of those men stand there with genuine anointing, the same as Balaam and Moses. There wasn't any difference in the anointing, but believe me, there was a difference in the two men.
Amen.
And Balaam's great prophetic utterance is still standing right at this hour. And he was not truly a prophet. Well, he was truly a prophet, but he was not a true prophet. Why? Because he never came with the word. He was in a step-down category, which today would be understood as a five-fold ministry prophet. Thing else, I'm going to go with the least on me possible, trying to say the right things and do the right things. Because look, there's a judgment for a period of time, and then annihilation. So we're sitting in the driver's seat today in a certain sense of the word. Or we're sitting beside the driver. Will we get pitched out of the car? That's up to us. Well, it's up to God really, but you understand what I'm saying. Now, if it keeps identifying the same old school of thought, it never did, it never has, it would be against God's program. It's got to be something new. Now, here's where people really flip their lid and don't understand. Oh, they say, here's the whole word of God. That man's your servant. He's trying to add. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that. Oh, come on. Read your Bible for the first time with understanding. Israel never did know the ways of God. The Bible categorically says Israel saw the works of God and Moses understood his ways. And Moses couldn't get to first base of that rebellious bunch. But he loved them. And he bore with them. It's got to be something new. It's got to be something that people don't understand. Or it wouldn't be sent. It doesn't need to be sent if they understood it. Or if it's the same old school of theology. Now let's find out if that's the truth. Okay, we go to Luke, the first chapter, and verse 17. And John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah,
to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. And that word disobedient is ignorant. To make ready a prepared people for the Lord. Do you want to be in His presence and know His presence and get out of here? Then open your understanding. And realize what you're going to hear is something different. Brother Branham already explained who was right and where he was right. Where one group of eternal security never has to begin with. There's a true eternal security, there's a false eternal security. There's a true baptism, there's a false baptism. There's a true baptism in water, there's a false baptism. There's a true name, there's a false name. There's a true organization, which is an organism, so to speak. And there's a false one. There's a true vicar, there's a false vicar. The whole thing is perverted. And God sent a man like John the Baptist to open our understanding that our ignorance would be wiped away. My people perish for lack of knowledge. Ignorance. They perish for bread. This is the bread. More Bibles than ever. More sermons than ever. More everything than ever. That this world goes out in the black plague of spiritual death and a physical plague of AIDS. Let me tell you something, brother, sister, we're in a very serious position. You know, how many years ago did Reader's Digest write about herpes and how to enjoy sex, even promiscuous, and it'd be fine, even though herpes are extant? They said, go ahead. Now they reap the whirlwind. They got AIDS. Now go ahead. Now go ahead. They had better get themselves emasculated. But that wouldn't do any good either, because now you can get it by drinking. So much for Reader's Digest, the great voice of authority. Oh, everybody, Reader's Digest, great. Oh, the great doctors. You go to Dr. Lagan, you better go to a good doctor. Not willing to fill you full of drugs and all this junk and everything else. Try to cooperate with Almighty God. I realize doctrine is a God because God put doctors here, but everybody that's a doctor is not of God any more than all preachers are. When they cut and butcher. And finally say, well, we made a mistake. We ripped women to pieces. We stripped them and everything else. We made a mistake. Well, that's nice for the poor corpses like my sister. Brother Branham called them butchers. The same man that said doctors of God called them butchers. Where do you stand this morning with your mind? Is it renewed or is it not renewed? You back there in the same old theology? Everything that Brother Branham said, you're judging by what you thought you knew or didn't know? The message this hour is repent. Get rid of your thinking. Get the thoughts of God because they come from a prophet. Brother Branham said, all my thoughts are of God. Who can say that? We can say that if we get in line with the prophet. What a fantastic thing is there. See? All right. Now let's study this thoroughly. See, the signs are given to attract the attention of the people. That's a voice right there, a sign. Why? Got to get the people interested, spark the interest. Because when a God-sent sign is given, God is ready to speak. Brother Branham came like every prophet. What is it? God has a message for you. Yeah. God has a message. And the message was not under William Branham. Hey, everybody can do this. That's corrugating the barn. Oh, everybody's got a revelation. Who do you think you are, Moses? Some top dog of some circus here? Some top banana of some show? Come on, man. You're talking about God? We're holy, too. Nobody said they weren't. They were full of holes, really, but they weren't holy, except in that respect. Their theology is plumb shot, just like the Jews were under the time of Jesus Christ with their Talmud. You ever read the Talmud? Unless you've got a filthy mind, you better not. There's not filthier, corrupted, crass filth in the world. All in the name of religion. We're no better. Why did Israel get that way? They went to Babylon. How do we get that way? Babylon. They paid their price, but they haven't laid down their books. That's what happened to Luther. He didn't lay down his books either. Had just enough strength to get by. Wesley met the same folly. Pentecost met the same folly. We don't enter that folly, my brother, my sister. Candidates to the kingdom of God stand with the word of God in its undefiled condition. Complete, total, that which is perfect has come. The perfect revelation for this hour. Who needs a revelation on Wesley? Read his material. Read his theologian, Fletcher. He could bellow like a bull. Hearing from miles, died about age 27 with consumption. Great man of God. Read his theology. Oh, he had antinomianism, as Brother Branham said.
The Anglican Church got to the place where you didn't need salvation. They were hard shells, worse than hard shells. Salvation apart from grace, from individual experience. Well, God foreknew you, so what's the difference? That's just do what we, well, you'd be all on the other side. If we're destined to be all right, we'll be all right. There's a part of a truth there, my brother, my sister. Part of a truth there, but it's not the truth. He perverted. He preached against it. What good to do? Well, they did a lot of good in that day today. Forget it. A few hard shells, take it. Brother Branham brought the truth. Who needs that? They're dead. See, all right. If it comes, now listen. If it comes, God's ready to speak. Every time the sign's given, God is ready to speak. That's true. If it comes from heaven, it's from God. And God is ready to speak and is trying to attract the people's attention. Now he's telling you, if it is from the sovereignty of God from the throne, that this is part of God's great plan and purpose for the elect, that's fine. But it can also come where it's not, and they are wolves in sheep clothing. They got gifts, they got fruit, they got grace, they got everything else, but they do not have the word, and they don't have the identifying earmarks. People are so glib, I cannot understand why they cannot discern. William Branham was head and shoulders, if not mountain peaks above everyone all combined. But they still said, I've got some too. I've got some too. It's a pity. Pardon me. Now, and the word, let me read again. Because when a God-sent sign is given, God is ready to speak. God is ready to speak when the sign is given. See, he repeats it. Sign, God's ready. Listen to him. That's what that said to me that time. The inner voice. It wasn't a voice. It's just the compulsion said, if you listen to any man, you listen to that fella. I hadn't even heard him. Saw him minister. Couple of words, minister. But you know what? That's the way it was supposed to be. I saw the sign. This man said, hey, bring 25 miracles or 24 forgiveness. I guarantee them all. I said, nobody can do that. That's got to be gone. And he went through the prayer line. There wasn't one missed. Several hundred. I said, man, you better hear that fella. What made me say it? Same thing made you say it.
Right. Amen.
No, there's no difference, brother, sister. Don't get carried away with differences and ideas. There's no top dogs here. There's a great one called the Holy Spirit. King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, sir. Ready to come forth in his due season. Completely in the glorified form. Meantime, he's a pillar of fire. Here's a picture right there. Everything's going just great. No problem. He must increase, the prophet decreased. Like Brother Brown told Brother Hickerson. He said, you see, Hickey said, I'm up here. When I'm taken off the scene, you people would be up here. I don't encourage anybody. If you think you're even part goat, you're going to be encouraged to think the sheep will take over pretty soon. Yeah. If you got a few wild grapes around you, well, you're committed to being all grapes pretty soon, true grapes. Just keep your eyes on where it belongs, brother, sister. Listen, you see, this is something that God did, and it's pertinent to our salvation. This is what's going to get us out of here to there. This is what people think. He's doing the same old thing. Why, he's the high priest. He's this, he's that. No, he's prophet come down here, laid it all out, and said, now, come on, we're going. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you up here. Why would I lie? Well, no, I got no reason to lie to anybody. I got no lie to pull a deal on anybody. I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe this myself as a human being. No. There's no way. It's got to be God. Because you see, God's got to grant repentance. It's got to be something to make you see this. Now, I know this is so simple, you could go right to sleep on me. Of course, it's hot in here. You go ahead and go to sleep. That's your business. I went to sleep on the prophet, too. But not anymore. He says, too humdrum. Is it humdrum? Do you really know what I'm saying this morning? Or do you just think you know? See, that's the thing. Is it a real revelation? Is it down there? We're stuck. Well, you can say sink or swim, live or die. Oh, well, come listen. Don't be that way. Because look, we got something to do. So what? Not interested. Well, but this could be salvation. So, I'm sorry. Man, you're a zombie. That too? I think you're a hypocrite. So what? Lousy idolater? Well, maybe I am. You make Brother Branham God? Well, not really. He was God to the people, though.
Amen.
He was living word of God manifested. Ooh, what you said blessed me. Huh? I'm a blessing with him. Who's going to prove what? When Mount Zion comes? That's the showdown? The rapture? And we tell you something. The harlots and the publicans will be there ahead of the righteous guys. So don't feel bad if you're a bit of a scum. As one guy said, so is cream scum. But it gets to the top of the milk, it's the best part of the whole deal. Who wants milk and strawberries? I'm a health nut, but not that bad. See, now listen, the word comes to his prophet, God's prophet. And that prophet is identified by the sign that he shows. And then he comes to the word, and the word's made manifest. That settles it. He takes it out and shows you. You say, hey, that fellow identified himself. So did Jesus. So he's only following good example. And they thought they could catch Jesus on that, didn't they? He branded them what they were. Then he comes to the word, and the word's made manifest. That settles it. It doesn't need any interpretation. God's already interpreted, see, just as perfect as it can be. Now notice, God gives a sign to attract the attention of the people. Now, I'm going to have to quit here because it's 12 o'clock, but listen. If you're going to read this at home and do anything, remember these are illustrations of what I'm discussing of what Brother Branham said. The fact is that God has an appointed hour for an appointed thing. And he has an appointed prophet right on the mark to get to that prophet, and he gets to that prophet. And he uses that prophet, and he can only use him because he's identified himself to the prophet, and he's identified the prophet to the people. And the prophet says, this is what the scripture says. And then Brother Branham takes all the illustrations to show you how when God did it, it was a perfect interpretation, but the people didn't get it except the elect. In fact, as we read the other sermon, part of the other sermon the other days we've gone on, he said, all but the elect hate him. Hate who? Hate the prophet. And automatically hate the God in the prophet. I remember that verse of scripture. I quoted and I quoted and quoted. If I had not done the works, no other man did, they not sin. But now they've both seen and hated both me and my father. And you go to the man over here that denies the power of God, the very thing there. And he says, I love you, Lord. I praise you day and night. Hallelujah. I'm a soul winner. I say, you hate God. Don't tell me. I am telling you. Right from my boss.
Amen.
Not some secretary general. Or whoop-dub hoop-a-doopy. I'm talking about the boss who said, you hate me and my father. That's why I've been preaching all love here about 11 times in a row. You and I don't have the first idea of love and understanding and any authority in the field of that vast and tremendous subject until we become one with that word. At least in the mechanical. Because your affections will betray you just as they betrayed Eve. Takes what's in God. His love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I remember Jesus loved his own unto the end. And the first church age, they loved their lives, not unto death. In other words, they didn't care about themselves. They had that word and they'd die for it. And that's been the key to every age. Men believing word. And what came out of that word was what was real, because original seed is word, or spoken word's original seed. You follow what I'm saying? All right. He doesn't need interpretation. So we're talking about this. We'll go on to this maybe Wednesday unless Brother Clausen preaches. I don't know how I'm going to feel. Nobody knows these things, but he's always very gracious to help me out, back me up, and I'm very ungracious to load it on him. So that's how it is. If he wants to supply me with strawberries, I'll eat them. I'm sorry about that. That's the way the cookie crumbles many times in our desultory lives. But you read this from now on, if you read it, and remember what I've just said to you. What Brother Branham is showing every single time, and remember, every illustration is for this hour. He is talking of pertinent things there. You follow me? And that is the voice of a sign you are being spoken to. You have caught it loud and clear. Now you're listening to what is being said. And I'm only teaching this way the very purpose of going, believing God to come to another plateau, because always you have got to start with the prophet, my brother, my sister, or you're wrong. So it behooves it. I used to get I was ready to chide Brother Branham. Why are you always talking about your prophetic office, and why the woman at the well all the time, all the time, all the time? Now I say, praise the Lord, talk about the prophet, talk about the woman at the well, because that's the crux of the whole thing. Simplicity, God doing it, that's what God wanted, that's what God's got, that's what I finally accepted, I believe I'm in. That makes you and me a believer. You don't have to understand all mysteries and know these things. How will you understand Godhead to perfection? How? You can't even see him. We're very fallible vessels. Listen, we've got it tough. Yeah.
So every inch you gain, praise God. Every little understanding that God gives you, praise God, because that's what the key is. John the Baptist gave understanding. Poor old King Nebuchadnezzar, oh, what a mess he was in. And Belshazzar, and Daniel came and gave understanding. And Daniel got in the mess, and the angel came and gave understanding. Now the angel of God, the messenger of the covenant, to the messenger of the covenant has come and give us an understanding. That's the key of the whole thing, my brother and my sister. That's where our faith lies. You say, well, can't prove a thing that's been proven. Well, I have to do nothing that's been done. What are you going to do? I'm going to believe God. Brother Brand said, listen, he said, hardly got enough faith, he said, to get a healing. Hardly enough revelation. Why are we so slow getting out of here? Our revelation's not up to peak yet. The acceptance of the fact of how God does things, and this was it, still leaves us at a low ebb. It should be high tide. He said the boat stabilized will crest every wave.
Amen.
I'll bring that down to glory, and the great river that flowed out of the temple, and Ezekiel going across. Oh, he dibble-dabbled up to his ankles. Ooh, he said, that feel good. The water came morning, up to the knees. He said, oh man, he said, second joint better than first joint. He said, that's great. And he came up to the thighs. He said, hey, he said, I kind of feel some effect going on here. It could be, he said, I'm going to get buoyed up, he said. And pretty soon another deluge came out of that great temple. The waves rose higher, and he got carried up. And he said, waters to swim in. And he said, waters to get carried across right to that great land there, brother, sister. Praise God. Who brought the water? Prophet brought the water. God gave the water. What are you waiting for? You're waiting for something out there with a false anointed bunch? They can have it. Listen, I can die sick. That's all right. Elisha died sick. No disgrace. Well, of course, I don't like it. But the prophet said, something's got to get you out of here. I prefer otherwise. I ain't God. Why, if I can just get the mind of Christ, his portion for me, that's what's going to do the job, and God to do the job, because I can't get myself out of here. But God's put every one of us in position through the prophetic office and that word under the seven seals to get us out of here. What did it? Come on. Give respect and honor to the servants of Almighty God. The Lord bless you. Now, let's bow our heads in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you, Lord, though we take time here. We know somehow Father's got to be laying a foundation. I don't know what for, but I don't believe, Lord, for 1 minute under the anointing that's in this building here, the love and the reception of thy word, O God, there's got to be a reason for what's going on at this minute. I don't pretend, Lord, and I will not pretend to anybody. At least I hope I won't be a hypocrite, Lord. But I do believe that something is coming where you will show us, Lord, a simplicity that we have not known. Lord God, like the unicellular little animal there, that little thing that just begins to divide itself and divide itself and divide itself, and suddenly we see, oh, a tremendous, wonderful thing before us. Lord, we believe that you'll get us down to that place where it's just a beautiful little unified word, and then suddenly see the grandeur and the glory, Father, to see it. Like Brother Branham said, one word from you, Lord, is better than millions of words from millions of men. Now, Father, somehow we just thank you this morning for your grace and your love, and know you're leading us, Father. I just pray, oh God, that as people leave this building, and they'll be leaving to go home, and I'll be with them, Heavenly Father. Oh God, in Jesus' name, help them, that they will have journeying mercies and welfare of soul, Lord, a glowing testimony, a heart that is at rest and peace with thee, Lord. And as Brother Brandon said, never forget that healing is in the atonement. Father, none of us want to forget that. We want to make good use of it, Lord, because we're all getting older and we're all going down to the dust. Brother Branham at 50 bemoaned that, knowing that he was without maybe visible evidence to many people, he had slowed down and all. Considered himself an old man, and now today he'd be 76 years of age, which would indeed be quite an old person. But Lord, we know that he could live like Caleb and Joshua, live to be 100 years older, better, like Moses, 120, wouldn't matter, Lord. But then you took him off the scene, and here we are now, Lord, and we know that that word is better than ever, that you've increased more and more, and we're getting out of here quicker than ever, because 20 years have gone by, and that's a pretty fair span. So Father in heaven, we just praise you and ask you for your love and your mercy be devolved upon every one of us here, that we may come together in the spirit of the living God, in honor, prefer each other, step aside when necessary in humility, and be only glad to be a service of God. And say, what can I do? What can I do? Lord, we're always trying to serve you and do things, but we know that really in our hearts it cannot be done until we serve each other. Lord, we know that. That's why we wash feet and all these things and show that we do prefer We do love. We do honor. So, Lord, let it be now. Let it be now, Lord, that we will, that as we zealously guard coins, O God, which we know they're in coin collectors, and little children guard them, adults guard them, from a penny to a dollar, and then some, Lord. We know that all of us here, we don't make up very much, Lord, when it comes to it. I don't suppose there's a silver dollar here, Lord, except in your sight, we're all silver dollars. But as to our actual state, in this condition, Lord, we might all just end up as pennies or halfpennies, for all we know, or might even be just even less than a half a penny. I don't know, Lord. But I know one thing, Lord, that every one of us can upgrade ourselves by looking to you and becoming amenable to the Spirit of God, and just determine, Lord, within ourselves that we will not hesitate to enter into the fullness of God, but we will hesitate to deny anything, Lord, that is of your word. We will hesitate, Lord, to enter into that which is not comely, and in the spirit of love of the Holy Spirit, and the present hour that the prophet left us, help us, O God. And unto we shall ascribe the glory and all the honor, for you are worthy, Lord, and we are so very grateful to you for these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Wednesday night, of course, 7:30, but we got a little business meeting here, and nobody has to get up and go unless you want to go. We have one little thing here, maybe a couple little things. We'll ask Brother White to help us on this. But now that the churches have come together, there was a little thought in there that the way we have our Constitution made up, you can turn it off, our Constitution made up